We apologize for the delay, ladies and gentlemen. The soup can and string is now working. Again, just for the record, we have Alderman Singer from the 4th Ward and Alderman Cummings from the 2nd Ward participating via telephone tonight, which is permitted under Illinois statute and the City of Geneva's own code. They are required to state their name prior to a vote and to state their name prior to any questions or comments they might offer. So we begin our meeting tonight by calling the meeting to order and kindly asking our city clerk to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Don Cummings?
Cummings here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill?
Here.
Gene Kilberg?
Here.
Greg Maladra? Richard Marks?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Alderman Singer is here.
Don Vogelsberg?
We begin tonight's meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and we kindly ask our very nice friend representing Cadence Healthcare, Tammy Presley, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tammy. Tammy, you received word that we're going to do a little switcheroo this evening. Fantastic. On the agenda, folks, that you have before you, we have a reference, unless this is the updated one. No, we have a reference that we were going to hear first from our friends at Cadence Healthcare. We're going to actually reverse the order and take item 3B, as in boy, first, simply because our presenter this evening lives in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and for whatever reason, he's worried about getting home before snow, something like that. So really, the objective then is to keep your presentation under 3 hours. That is the key. So please join me at the podium, sir. Welcome. We have a presentation on the staffing analysis report by Carl Nolenberger with Voorhees and Associates. Mr. Nolenberger, welcome.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here this evening with the city government, reporting on a city government that has excellent leadership, good management, and really high-quality services. It's the last few times I've made these reports to a city council. It's been the opposite. The last one I reported, a city of about 30,000 people, I was making recommendations for reductions of about $400,000 to $500,000 worth of salaries, expenditures. And it's obviously a bit different here in the Geneva situation. For those of you not familiar with it, we were retained to do the consulting study, the staffing analysis here for the City of Geneva. The consultants, there were five of us that worked on the study, myself, former city manager, city administrator, county administrator, I dwelled in on the administrative functions, another past city manager who dwelled in on the operational functions, a past fire chief, a past police chief, and an information technology manager. So all of us were here in Geneva doing interviews in other areas in order to do the assessment and gain an understanding of the we wanted to make sure we understood the organizational goals. So we made sure that we fully understood your strategic plan. We did a complete review of your organizational system, the documents. You know, I literally have a stack of papers just high at home of the materials that I've read for Geneva. We did a review of position descriptions. We interviewed about a third of the city staff, over 50 employees that we interviewed to get feedback. We did a complete analysis of the staffing here in Geneva compared to 12 comparable cities. We did some performance measurements and compared the performance here in Geneva to some national benchmarks that are available to assess. We did a complete employee survey of all employees, full-time and part-time here in the city, and did a complete review of duties by the by departments and considered any potential reallocations of functions and appraisal of the adequacy of the staff and procedures. The outcome of all that is in one of the chapters that, you know, is there, the third chapter on planning and goal setting. as I called it, thinking and acting strategically. The chart on page 5 in the report is specifically aimed at giving you a view on the strategic management for an organization. And Geneva has one of the best outstanding planning and goal setting processes that I've seen in a city government organization. The leadership does an outstanding job here with adopting a comprehensive plan, with putting together the sub-area plans, the strategic plan that you do with the annual updates to that and the target setting. You've initiated the 5-year capital improvement program. You establish fiscal policies and you do fiscal monitoring, and all of those fit into or feedback or into the budget process. The budget process then, after adopted, really becomes the operating plan and has very specific goals with long-term financial planning and objective setting. It truly is an outstanding thinking and acting strategically process here at the City of Geneva. We reviewed the organization and management structure. You have a very good mission and vision statement. Your organizational structure is very effective and is set up to be most efficient. There's good participation styles between the various departments, interacting with each other and trying to work for the best needs of the city. We did the staffing performance measurements comparisons. As I mentioned, we compared Geneva staffing to 12 comparable cities, and Geneva's staffing was below the average in 12 comparable cities, as I mentioned, and shown on that chart in your thing, by 2.7 employees. And that's not taking into consideration that some of the other cities have more contracting out, so they have the cost, but they don't have the number of staffing shown. So they have more contracting out, which means that Geneva's even less than that 2.7 employees. We then did some performance measures that are shown in the report, also to compare Geneva's performance to benchmarks. And in every of the 10 benchmarks that we compared it to, Geneva bettered the national benchmarks by a good percentage. There was only one, and that was turnover in the 1 year because of lots of retirements here in Geneva that particular year. But voluntary turnover was very low. So performance measures, which is a measure of efficiency, is aimed at trying to compare to see how efficient you're being compared to other cities, and you're being very efficient. Obviously, the other area we look at there is the discussions and the interviews we have with employees. Given the expertise that our consulting team had, we felt very confident about the staffing levels and about the efficiency that exists here in Geneva in the operating departments. We did an employee survey, and some people ask me why, you know, because it's very true. My experience is that satisfied employees provide higher levels of service and more efficiently. So the employee survey, we got very good responses, response rate from the employees here. And essentially the findings were that city and workforce is significantly invested and committed to this particular community. The city employees feel very positive about their employment here with the City of Geneva. And we also were able to compare some of the responses to some benchmarks for cities that around the United States that we've accumulated in the past, and compared Geneva's against those other benchmarks, and Geneva ranked above the averages of those other cities in every situation and compared very well. There are only two areas, slight areas, an employee survey resulted in, and as they felt there was some need for additional employee recognition of the work efforts, employer recognition of the employees' work efforts, and some additional training opportunities. And obviously, the last 5 years of fiscal constraints have created a downsizing or reduction, lowering of levels of training opportunities and employee recognition due to the cost implications of those issues. Our overall analysis is that it's a very well-organized and a very well-managed operation. It's staffed at a level that's below that of comparable cities, and knowing the high standard of service that you have here in Geneva, expectation, it's staffed probably slightly below those levels with good efficiency levels. There's good cooperation between the departments. with some additional outreach needed, as always. In a city government, you have each department providing different types of services, so you really need to have outreach and communication taking place and team building occurring between management, the elected body, as well as ongoing team building and conflict resolution. Conflict occurs in every organization I've ever been in. The trick is to prevent that conflict from becoming confrontation. The example I always use there is if you're in favor of the Chicago Bears and I'm in favor of the Green Bay Packers, we have a conflict. But if we can go to the local bar on Sunday afternoon and watch the game and jab each other as our team gets a touchdown, that's a manageable conflict. But if you're in favor of the Chicago Bears and I'm in favor of the Green Bay Packers, and I won't talk to you and I wouldn't go with you and I think you're a mean son of a gun, that's confrontation. And that seriously undermines the levels of decision-making, the levels of communication that need to take place in an organization. And that's why you need to have that ongoing team building and ongoing conflict resolution, which you've initiated, but you need to have that on an ongoing basis to be beneficial. We do recommend, there's some recommendations in the analysis section. I'll just mention three of them. One is we'd recommend that there be a chief communications officer. In today's world, there is so much communication taking place between the organization and on websites, on social media, to newsletters, you name it, as well as internally between operations. And while you're doing a lot of that communication, it's spread out amongst all the various departments. We'd suggest that you have one chief communication officer to deal with those kinds of issues, to keep everybody involved and informed on the issues and taking place. Second area we'd suggest is central purchasing. I realize it takes a commitment up front to do central purchasing, but most organizations have found that it pays for itself, because by doing the central purchasing, you get better prices on the items that you're purchasing, and on the long term, it pays for itself. The third area is one that you already initiated, and that's the completion of your information technology upgrades and improvements. Your system has been very old by information technology standards, 1998. And I know that you're halfway through that, and the commitment to maintaining that and completing that would be significant. And there's some other smaller types of recommendations on page 27 and 28 in the report. But in summary, Geneva has an excellent level, as shown on the chart on page 30, when you look at governance, which is this body, when you look at management, which is the city administrator, department head, supervisors, when you look at service delivery, Geneva has an excellent level of it with good coordination going on between. There's always room for improvements, but there's good coordination taking place, and staffing levels are adequate to slightly below the levels that you would like to have here to provide the services that you're after. And that's a quick summary of the report, and that's less than 3 hours.
Well done. We would like to focus on your Green Bay Packer comment. We have any Packer fans on the council?
About half.
Seriously? Well, they're not voting tonight, so it's all fair.
I'm up here.
Comments or questions for Mr. Nolenberger from the dais, and then certainly anyone in the audience. Alderman Flanagan.
How much of the, what percentage of the report was based on observation of services that we provide or actually observing the employees?
Okay. When you say observing the employees, we did not do time and motion studies, if you will.
Oh, okay. So there was
Do any time and motion studies. What we did is interviews with employees, looking at their job descriptions, getting a feel for what they're doing, and then based upon the experiences that all of us have in our reflective areas that I mentioned, whether those are adequate levels of staffing and whether it's too much staffing, too little staffing. So that's it was based upon our backgrounds and expertise.
Okay, and you called it what? I'm sorry. Said
Time and motion studies.
Time
and motion studies is when you're literally sitting there and observing employees, yes.
And the central purchasing, is there would our accounting have to be our budget would have to be restructured in order to have central purchasing, because I know each department does their, and I guess this this question would go to Mary. Would they have to, you know, if central purchasing, or they would still have the amount designated? Well, I guess you know what my gist is that I'm trying to just figure out if the accounting would matter in central purchasing or not.
The accounting is secondary to having someone there doing.
Okay, so it doesn't have any bearing on trying to restructure the budget?
No, that wouldn't be an issue. The accounting part of it wouldn't be an issue. It would be having a person there doing the
I can understand
job functions.
Yeah, I can understand that. And I was just wondering if there would impact accounting capabilities or expenditure reporting.
Well, expenditures it would theoretically affect in a positive way by buying,
we would
you
hope.
Know, in bulk, combining purchases across departments.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else on the dais? We may have just dropped one of the aldermen. Alderman Cummings or Alderman Singer?
Cummings is here.
Alderman Cummings, any comments or questions for Mr. Nolenberger on the presentation?
No. I enjoyed reading the report.
From the audience, anyone? Any comments or questions at all? Not bad for a Packers fan. That's pretty good, man. Mary, do you want to add anything, or Stephanie?
Not unless anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Just our thanks to the staff and the directors for participating.
Yes.
I'm certain you echo that sentiment as well. So we thank everyone very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Drive safely on your way back.
We hope you make it, by the way.
Is it snowing there already, Mr. Nolenberger, or no? Not yet.
Oh, well, that's good.
I've never seen a guy leave a meeting so quickly in my life. Now our friend Tammy Presley from Cadence Health, welcome. I think most of us from the dais have the pleasure of knowing you, but obviously there are millions of people watching around the world.
I'm sure.
And we've got a full house tonight, and I'm certain they're anxious to hear about all the good things that Cadence is not only providing to our community, but providing throughout the region in terms of health care and the attention toward a healthier lifestyle. So welcome.
Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone. On behalf of all of us at Cadence Health, warm regards to you, Mayor Burns, to members of the City Council and staff, and to all the residents of Geneva. My name is Tammy Presley, and I have the privilege of serving Cadence Health as Director of Community Government and Public Affairs. And I'm happy to be with you tonight to just share a few comments on the dynamic industry that healthcare is these days, and what I refer to as proof points of the value of the coming together of Centre DuPage Hospital and Delner Hospital. So I've prepared some remarks that I'm going to work through, and then I'm happy to answer any questions you might have. The healthcare industry is undergoing a time of tremendous change. Although our industry has historically been marked by rapid technological change and innovation, the depth and breadth of this change on all fronts is unprecedented. The same innovation that has been applied to astonishing technological advancements improving length and quality of life are now necessarily being applied to the actual delivery system of care. Cadence Health is both excited and optimistic about these changes and the manner with which we are positioning ourselves for success in this new environment. Several environmental factors are actively shaping the future of healthcare, including implementation of the Affordable Care Act and the significant capital demands required for compliance, the rise in the indigent and uninsured populations in our region, and significant provider rate cuts in both the Medicare and Medicaid programs. The ongoing state and federal budget crisis brings with it a high degree of uncertainty. All the while, an aging population and the rising incidence of chronic disease continue to increase the complexity of care. With tens of thousands potentially becoming eligible for Medicaid shortly, and many more thousands of others obtaining insurance for the first time via insurance exchanges in 2014, this is likely to create clinician shortages due to the increase in demand for care, even within our system service area. The guiding principles of the Affordable Care Act call for improved quality of and access to care in a manner that reduces the overall costs of care and promotes a delivery system shift away from a focus on disease treatment toward a focus on managing the health of a given population. These tenets, coupled with the environmental challenges I outlined, have led to significant consolidation within the industry as systems seek to reduce duplication, leverage economies of scale, adopt singular systems and processes for efficiency and improved outcomes, and combine resources to make strategic investments and overall improvement of access to capital. My intention tonight is to provide you with a very brief update on the progress of the coming together of both CDH and Delnor as we approach, believe it or not, our two-year anniversary. I will outline the success thus far of the Cadence Health brand itself, offer some proof points that have accumulated that speak to the value of the merger to this community, and lastly, cast for you the vision we have for what lies ahead. The Cadence Health brand was officially launched in January of 2012. 14 months later, consumer data proves we have been extremely successful in building consumer awareness of this previously unknown name. Within our system's primary and secondary service area, when compared to established health system brands, Cadence Health has already surpassed these comparison brands in both familiarity and overall reputation. Within a broader geography that includes all of Chicagoland, the Cadence Health brand is on the heels of achieving familiarity levels on par with many brands that have taken several years to build. One of the most important driving objectives of the merger was to provide the Tri-Cities community with increased access to more advanced specialty care. This has already been achieved in areas of high need, including subspecialty pediatrics, behavioral health services, pain management, and weight management services. In pediatrics, we are excited to announce that neonatologists and neonatal nurse practitioners from Ann and Robert H. Lurie Children's Hospital of Chicago now provide around-the-clock on-site coverage of Delnor Special Care Nursery. Additionally, plans are now in place to create a new outpatient subspecialty pediatric clinic at Delnor in early 2014. Employing the services, of course, of Lurie Children's Specialists. This enables Cadence Health to offer a full range of subspecialty outpatient care to families right here in King County. Regarding behavioral health services and pain management, six new psychiatrists have joined the Delnor medical staff and now offer psychiatric services to patients both in the emergency department and on the inpatient floors. Additionally, physiatrists trained in pain management are now available to work with inpatients on pain issues, with additional procedural interventions and an outpatient pain clinic coming later this year. From a facilities perspective, Cadence Health committed to an investment of nearly $100 million specifically toward enhancements at the Delnor Hospital campus. These investments include a state-of-the-art cancer center currently under construction, due to open this coming fall, construction of the new Living Well Cancer Resource Center, and the renovation of the intensive care unit. Other renovations that are in process include the emergency department, cardiac cath lab, operating rooms, the cafeteria and kitchen, the outpatient laboratory, the south lobby, the simulation lab, and various campus landscaping improvements. Additionally, this summer in nearby Aurora, we plan to open a new facility offering a convenient care center, physician offices, physical therapy, and occupational health services. And in Sugar Grove, we recently purchased an existing building and will be renovating that to offer internal medicine and physical therapy beginning this upcoming summer. On the physician front, Cadence Health boasts more than 1,300 physicians on our combined medical staff. We are honored to work with a wide range of accomplished physicians, those who are independent and those who are employed by our system. Since the merger, over 100 new physicians have been added to the medical staff of Delnor Hospital, and 27 established physicians from the Tri-Cities community have chosen to become employed by Cadence Physician Group. our system's large multi-specialty group practice. With a 95% and 92% physician satisfaction ranking at CDH and Del Nor respectively, maintaining a superior clinical practice environment for physicians is and will remain a top priority. The merger also provided Del Nor Hospital with access to Epic, the gold standard for electronic health records. A successful campus-wide conversion onto this electronic platform took place a year ago November on the CDH campus and this past November at the Del Nor campus, specifically at 3 a.m. on Saturday, November 3rd. This conversion created an entirely unified and coordinated electronic health record system across all environments of care within Cadence Health, both in and outpatient. At a total of investment of $275 million, this platform provides for secure, timely access to necessary patient information by all providers to promote high-quality, seamless, and coordinated care to patients. The merger has also provided efficiencies and the ability to leverage combined volume in our supply chain. Standardization of contracts across the system resulted in savings of over $1 million during the first 12 months of the merger, allowing for these valuable resources to be directly reinvested into the provision of hospital services to the community. We continue to focus on cultural integration opportunities in an effort to build a sense of we and identify who we are together as a system from who we were as independent hospitals. In May of last year, we launched Team Cadence, an all-volunteer program that allows employees across the system to directly serve the community together. With the offering of their personal time, employees personify always thinking, always caring beyond the provision of great medical care to valuable support of causes that are important to the communities we serve. Going forward, our guiding vision is to offer the region's most advanced clinical capabilities across the full continuum of care, resulting in an exceptional experience for our patients, our physicians, and our staff. We will continue to invest in and expand the service lines for which the system is most widely known, including orthopedics, oncology, subspecialty pediatrics, neurosciences, and heart and vascular care. This award-winning care has earned CDH the designation of a 100 top hospital in the United States for six of the last 7 years and joined a prestigious list of only 92 hospitals in the United States to be named a 2012 Leapfrog top hospital. During the same time period, Del Nor was honored by achieving exceptional physician satisfaction, made U.S. News top doctor listing, and was named a top-performing hospital by Joint Commission. We will also continue to be dedicated to and invested in the communities we are privileged to serve. Last fiscal year, Cadence Health provided $131 million in community benefit, including the provision of $19 million in free care, nearly four times the amount required by statute, and covering a $90 million shortfall in government-sponsored care, which is the difference between our cost to care for Medicare and Medicaid patients and the reimbursement provided by the state and federal government. Also included in this figure are the nearly 200 free classes offered to the community to promote wellness and provide health education, and a whole host of sponsorships and grants in support of community events such as Swedish Days and health and wellness initiatives and programs. So we thank the entire city of Geneva for the warm welcome that has been extended to our newly blended healthcare family and for the vital role you all play in the quality of care for this community through your support of our system. The current state of our health system is excellent, and the future is even brighter. I hope to have demonstrated by my comments this evening and by our actions over the course of the past several months that our commitment to the city of Geneva and the residents we are honored to care for is exceedingly strong. We thank you in advance for your partnership in the months and years ahead as we collectively make our community healthy, vibrant, and strong. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Presley. Comments or questions from the dais?
Yes,
Alderman
sir.
Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Those of us who live in Geneva and drive Randall see the nearing completion of a new building. I believe that's a new cancer therapy center, is it not?
That is correct.
When is it projected open?
That is projected to open, let me check my notes, in early 2014. No, actually, hang on one sec. It is due to open this fall.
Wonderful.
So we are on time.
Do you have any idea what comes after that? We assume you're continuing to expand your facilities,
yeah,
as you mentioned.
Yeah, so there's phases of renovation. As I mentioned, we've dedicated about $100 million to the Delnor campus specifically. And so many of the phase one projects are either near completion or completing. We're going to start another round. So you're going to see entrances of the hospital. So from an external perspective, entrances of the hospital will be renovated. You will see a lot of landscaping improvements to the outside campus, and then, as I mentioned, inside the kitchen and the servery and the intensive care unit and the operating room and all of the other projects that I outlined in my remarks. So lots going on campus.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Alderman Singer, any comments or questions?
Nothing, sir.
Alderman Cummings?
Nothing, thank you.
Anyone from the audience? Mrs. Pressler is a very busy executive. It's nice to have her present, so I think we should keep her as long as we can with questions and comments. Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I thought one other thing I would just mention is I happen to be privileged to be on the board of directors of V&A Healthcare, which used to be known as Visiting Nurse Association of Fox Valley. We have a different client base than you do, for sure, since we operate clinics in Aurora and Elgin. But we're facing the same sorts of things you are, and I can certainly second all your mention of the fact that the healthcare field is changing very, very rapidly in a very positive direction. The only thing, of course, is the costs. I think the healthcare field still has to attack the question. Proving service is wonderful. The population, some people believe, is not only getting older, it's not getting any healthier. So it's sort of a tension, a dichotomy between trying to improve services and yet keep the costs down. And we know you're tussling with this problem all the time. We do, too. It's quite a large problem, and I think we all have to think about that, especially those of us who are aging. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I appreciate the efforts that Cadence is doing.
Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I applaud Cadence for changing the main entrance to the north side. I'm sure a lot of people have wondered about that, but as far as I'm concerned, and when I've been out there and have exited the campus on the south side, you're taking your life in your hands. And sometimes, at least I haven't been hit yet, but once in a while we have to take U-turns on that street. But going out on the north side, we'll have a stoplight at Randall Road to make it a lot safer, and I think that's a real accomplishment for the safety of the residents of the community.
Well, thank you. Certainly things we considered in that project.
Good.
May I add a comment to that, Mr. Mayor?
Certainly. It's like a ping pong match.
We normally do.
We must use the facility often. Realize that if you're going west, you should exit on the north side of the facility, on the south side of the facility. If you're going east, you should exit on the north side of the facility. And in your future planning, you might think about the possibility of one-way streets internally to the campus, because it's certainly true that you want to enter from the east on the south, and you want to exit on the north if you're going east. But no, we've tussled with that problem. It's unfortunate the campus is just a little bit too close to Randall Road, which is, of course, the biggest thoroughfare in King County right now. But so anything you people can do to cooperate with the city in terms of the long-term planning of the traffic, I think it's not going to get less. It's going to get more. So,
right. Duly noted.
Thank you.
Anyone from the audience? Any comments or questions from Mrs. Pressler? I would like to add one final comment. You referenced in your presentation that your employees dedicate their time and talent to help the community that they work in, and we should note, as I'm certain Ellen DeVita will echo, we have one of your executives who serve on our Economic Development Commission, and we are grateful for Mr. Friedman's talent.
Wonderful.
That he lends our community and help us identify new opportunities to grow. So,
great. I will pass that along.
Yes, please.
Thank
do. You. Well, you did it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip home. Say hi to your husband.
We're at item four, ladies and gentlemen, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments this evening by any member of the council, either with us and or by phone? Item five is the omnibus agenda. All items marked with an asterisk are considered to be routine and can be enacted by one motion. So I do have a quick announcement prior to that motion being offered by our city clerk.
Mr. Mayor, you all have a copy of the February 19, 2013 minutes. The ones in the packet had a date misstated. That's been corrected in the minutes you have now.
Just a friendly heads up. The omnibus agenda item is on the floor for a motion.
So moved.
Offered by Alderman Flanagan, seconded by Alderman Brown. Comments or questions from the dais and or Alderman Singer, Alderman Cummings?
Hello.
Hearing none, seeing none, we will take a vote.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Ian Kilberg?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Singer, aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. That motion passes unanimously. According to my scorecard, we jump down to item number nine. Under other items and correspondence, I am looking for a motion to accept the staffing analysis report as presented earlier this evening by Voorhees and Associates, care of Mr. Nolenberger.
So moved, sir.
Alderman Hill makes the motion to accept.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Singer, I presume.
Yes.
Questions or comments from the dais and or the audience? Seeing none, hearing none. What's your advice, City Attorney? Voice vote sufficient. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Those on the phone, please state your name and indicate your vote.
Alderman Singer, aye.
Alderman Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Cummings, aye as well. Motion passes unanimously. Item number 10 is municipal bills for payment. I kindly ask our city clerk to read the bills for consideration.
Bills for payment total $1,744,420.04.
Mayor, I move that we approve the bills and pay the bills as read. The individual invoices that make up that total can be found on the city website and today's council's packet.
There's a motion offered by Alderman Brown to pay the bills as presented and as they appear on the city's website and in tonight's packet. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Marks. Questions or comments from the dais, from the audience, from the magic of the telephone?
None, sir.
Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call vote.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Alderman Singer, aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. We jump down to item 11A, consider ordinance number 2013-09, amending Title IV, Chapter 19, Business and License Regulations, Horse-Drawn Carriage Regulations, adding Wagon and Trolley Regulations. I'll entertain a motion by Alderman Brown.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Kilberg. Please note that at your dais and via email earlier today, you received some correspondence from Ellen DeVita regarding this matter, some additional information for our consideration as requested last week. And we have our dear friend, Mr. Paul Evans, with us tonight to perhaps answer any questions or add clarification if necessary.
Yeah, I just wanted to go over real quick the some of the changes that we had from the February 25th Committee of the Whole meeting. He asked us to review the proposed revisions that we have and see if there was a way to streamline the approval process. Then we also received some additional wagon suggestions that we've incorporated into this these changes that we're proposing tonight. And of those, one of the changes we made is we eliminated the background checks and safety inspections on the one-day carriage because we figured that was basically private rides with little effect on the general public. And then for wagons and carriages, we made them, for both of those, we made them subject to the Illinois Vehicle Code. And then the safety, some of the safety provisions that we now have for both wagons and carriages is a flashing amber light visible from 500 feet, directional signals that are visible for 300 feet. We have mirrors so they can see behind the vehicle for 200 feet, and all of these are required by the Illinois Vehicle Code. For wagons, in addition to that, we also are recommending that they be side-loaded, that you when you load and unload, it's from the side, not the rear, so the wagon doesn't back up and run in or hurt somebody. There's more danger of locating in the back when they can't be seen as well. And then in addition to having a driver, we're also asking that there be a handler available that help hitch the team or hitch the wagon and or maintain safety regulations in the wagon itself. So, and lastly, we went through the penalties and licenses, and we kind of before we only really had like you could either revoke it, and so now we have penalties that we could or suspend, that it's not just a revocation. We made these changes in concert with the police department, and they've reviewed these changes. And then in addition to that, you asked about the application procedure, and that's where staff reviewed it, and we came up with an alternate procedure where the applicant at their own risk chooses to have a vehicle inspected the same day as their event. The police department, through an appointment, scheduling appointment with them for that day, could be available to both issue the license and issue the safety certificate the same day. We do have the caveat, though. The police department could be called away at any time. It's not the highest priority, so if you do it that day, you may be delayed. But if they have staff available, they will process it that day. That is, though, if you have background checks and insurance and fees all have to be done ahead of time, and the background check is at least 30 days ahead of time. So anyway, with this, you have the revised ordinances and the changes, if you have any questions, but that's a review of the horse-drawn carriage regulations and new regulations for wagons and trolleys.
Questions or comments? Alderman Hill, then Alderman Brown.
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
Okay.
I thought we were going to insist on a one-day inspection, and is that? I think I heard you say that that's not necessary now, or is
insist on one-day inspection?
Well, I thought that was originally was going to be part of it. And right in here it says background checks and safety. I agree about the background checks. You can't do that in a.
We were going to try to accommodate one-day inspection, but it's at your own risk.
It's not the
preferred way.
Okay.
Because if you came, the whole reason for having the one-day inspection is to have it the day of the event, so you don't have to make two trips, which there's a cost savings in that.
Sure.
Understood. But so if you do your homework ahead of time and you basically have confidence that your wagon meets all the safety features in it, then that process is available.
Okay. But it's not mandatory to allow the wagon to be on the streets of Geneva carrying our residents, right?
It's not mandatory?
Mandatory?
To be on the streets?
No. Or the inspection?
Yeah.
It is mandatory?
The wagons, we do have a safety inspection, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And for carriages, we do. It's just the one day. There's one, like, for weddings where it's just a private carriage. It's taking people from a prearranged location from a set destination, and the public doesn't just hop on and ride. That one, we're eliminating the safety check on that one because it's just one party.
I see. All right. Well, I'll have to read some more. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Alderman Brown?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to thank the staff. I mean, I thought just on a whim, I thought maybe this thing could be tightened up a little bit, and I think that I think you've done a good job of making this a much better ordinance at this point, reaching a compromise between the needs of the city and the population for safety and the needs of the people who'd like to just do some business in town, which we encourage. So thank you for all the work that everybody's done on this. I will certainly vote for the present version.
Anyone else at the dais? Alderman Flanagan?
I just have a question on the Illinois Vehicle Code. Do they have reference to wagons and carriages in the Illinois Vehicle Code, or are we following?
I'll turn that one over to the chief.
Just curious, I guess.
The chief, of course, has ridden wagons and horses in the past, and he's an expert on the field.
The Illinois Vehicle Code does not reference wagons per se by that word, but it does reference horse-drawn vehicles vehicles drawn by other conveyances. So it those types of vehicles are covered in the Illinois Vehicle Code, and this reflects that.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Alderman Kilburg.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here last week, but does this apply also to the Swedish Day Parade then?
To what?
Swedish Day Parade.
No, there. I'm sorry. Go ahead. There's an exemption in here for parades. If it's in the definition of wagons, we have wagons here. Wagon is excluding parades and those used in non-entertainment activities.
Okay.
So yeah. So it's mainly meant for hired rides, I guess is.
But actually. Isn't the community at greater risk when we have a parade, when we have children sitting on the curbs and we've got a team of horses pulling a wagon with possibly fireworks and other things that could cause those horses to bolt? Because I know that actually the community that I moved here from had a fatality a few years ago, and actually the city was litigated as a result of supposedly some negligence. I'm just saying I don't know if we necessarily want to or not, but I think it's something that should certainly be considered.
I think that's the strongest reason we have insurance, you know, that for those instances like that. And the fact is it's a very limited number of people on that wagon. You know, it's not the general public just hopping on. They know who's going to be on there. But, yeah, and you're right. It'd be helpful to have safety.
I don't think it would be all that encumbersome to have our police inspect some of these units that are in our parades to make sure that they are safe and that, there was a fatality. There were several children that were hospitalized as a result of it. And again, some things can't be avoided, but I'm just saying if there's any measure or anything that we could do to improve, to ensure the safety of the community, because, you know, Swedish Day Parade, we've got children sitting on the curb, we've got horses that are over 1,500 pounds, a lot of things going on that could cause those animals to bolt and put a lot of young people, a lot of our citizens at risk. So, I don't know if it necessarily has to be as comprehensive as what you're looking at here. But I'm just saying I think it's something that should be considered and maybe not necessarily written into policy, but as a safeguard, maybe we encourage our police department to inspect some of these units and to at least have a walkthrough before the parade just to ensure that there isn't something that might be out of the ordinary. Maybe the chief would want to comment on that.
You do raise some good points about the safety risks of some of those units in the parades. Some of the concerns that I would have off the bat would be the time and the staffing that it would take to inspect all those vehicles and all of those units. There are usually over 100 units. Many of those types of units that do pose a danger are not just the animals. They are things like the Shriners. I mean, those Shriners scare me to death on those little flying carpets. I'm afraid they're going to run over somebody every time we have a parade. And then how would we inspect those types of vehicles?
Right.
So while I appreciate the concern that you pose, I don't disagree. Where we would start with that, I don't know. And with the wagon and being pulled by the horses, the ordinance that we're going over tonight really focuses more on the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a runaway horse, that's not going to be caused by, you know, headlights or taillights or things like that. So those would be my thoughts. That the sound setting a horse off onto a rampage is certainly a valid concern, but I don't know how we would regulate that in such a chaotic setting.
You know, a lot of times when you have an incident like this, alcohol can be involved, and I'm just saying a walkthrough sometimes can be pretty obvious.
That's one thing we always, every year, are looking for. We have people at every intersection. The officers have a briefing before every parade, and actually every night of Swedish Days. And during the parade in particular, we focus on things like that. So although we don't do a specific walkthrough of the parade, if we have the staffing and the time, that would not be a bad idea. And I can certainly consider that and look into that for this upcoming year.
Thanks, Chief.
Anyone else on the dais? Mr. Marks, Alderman Marks.
Paul, I'm still confused with the special event one-day carriage permit. I mean,
okay,
it's really not stating in here that it allows for rides and even during festivals. So a festival person who runs it can actually rent one of these for the whole day and just have it go from destination point A to point B.
For the one day?
Well, yeah, it says the special event one-day carriage permit is for prepaid rides to specific designation from a designated starting point.
Right.
The special event one-day permit may not operate in an area covered by a city festival without the permission of that city festival applicant.
Right.
So they can rent, the applicant can actually rent a carriage for the whole day and let it go from point A to point B. If they pay the fee and don't charge somebody?
Well,
I'm just confused.
For the festival, okay. For a festival, they have to coordinate it with the festival applicant. For the ones that one day, that they still give us a special event app so we know where they're going to and what their route is. But the difference is, you know, the festival is the five festivals
okay.
we have.
Yeah.
And the one day is meant for anything outside of that or for, like, weddings and
it's just confusing the festivals in that area to me, but that's okay.
Okay.
I understand.
Okay.
Now, I just wanted some questions.
Sure, no problem.
That's all.
Alderman Cummings or Alderman Singer, any questions or comments from Mr. Evans?
None, sir.
Alderman Cummings?
None for me. Cummings, thank you.
You do sound pretty bad there, Don. Good God, I'm kind of glad you're not here. From the audience, any questions or comments? Do I see a hand up? Welcome. Can't recall the name, but
this is getting to be a habit on Monday nights. Jean Gaines, Geneva Chamber of Commerce, 8 South 3rd Street. Just a couple of comments for Dean. One of the reasons we have marshals at the parade is to check people as they're coming into the parade, and certainly they're not going to allow someone who's been drinking, at least if it's visible, to continue the line of march. We also know that most of the people who have horses handle horses all the time in parades, so they're professional parade people. Can something happen? Absolutely. But then a car can verve off the street at any day and hit people too. So I appreciate your concern, but if we want parades and we want a certain way of life, we do take some risk. The chamber names the city as additional insured, and heaven forbid we would never want to have a claim, but you are somewhat protected that way as well as we are. And, you know, we've been called crabby old ladies because we keep telling people not to throw candy. Well, one of the reasons we don't throw candy is because we don't want kids to run out in front of a horse or a Shriner. So sometimes aldermen have been guilty. I think Mr. Dakota was one of them. But anyway, we certainly try and keep a handle on the safety. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Dakota was throwing the candy toward us, Gene, just for the record.
Yeah.
Across the street.
Exactly. Anyone from the audience, any questions regarding? A motion has been offered. A second has been offered. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call vote.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Alderman Singer, aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. We jump to item 11B, as in boy. Consider approval of street closures and use of city services for the Kiwanis Club Soapbox Derby on June 22nd, 2013.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Hill. We'll give this to the young lady, Alderman Flanagan. Questions or comments? This was intentionally left off the omnibus agenda at the request of the alderman, since there was considerable discussion last week. Is there any comments or questions for either our race organizers? I mean, my God, a soapbox derby expert, for goodness sake, living here in Geneva. Or for Rich, or for Ellen. God, dudes, man, you guys really, well done. This is a qualifier for the National Soapbox Derby. It's pretty cool, isn't it? We expect a lot of media attention on this.
You can qualify for Boston in the marathon. You can qualify for Akron in the soapbox.
Just doesn't really sound as nice there, does it, Ellen? just the word Akron. My apologies to Akron. Mr. City Clerk, would you take the roll, please?
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Alderman Singer, aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Again, according to my scorecard, we jump down to item 13, new business. Is there any new business from the dais? Alderman Flanagan?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And I would like to, first of all, kudos to the Geneva Chamber of Commerce. They were selected on two categories in the Best Western Living Best by readers.
Look at that.
Yep. And speaking of the Swedish Days Festival, they were the best. Best in festival or fair, and the Swedish Days Festival in Geneva was number one. And also, the other one we scored very high in, or the chamber did, was the Best Craft and Art Show, and that was the Geneva Art Fair. So kudos to Geneva Chamber of Commerce. They do a fabulous job. So
wonderful.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Well, congratulations, Jean, to you and your team. Everybody. And all the volunteers, absolutely. Anyone else on the dais? New business? On the phone, Alderman Cummings? Alderman Singer?
None, sir.
From the audience, anyone about anything? Ah, yes, I see a hand raised. Is it Mr. Bruno? Welcome.
Thank you. Mike Bruno, 522 Fulton Street. Just wanted to point out, no matter what people might think on various aspects of it, I want to send out a public kudos to the Geneva Bank. They seem to have done a truly stellar job of the restoration of the Pure Oil building, including finding a vintage Pure Oil sign that they put in the in the lobby. So a lot's been said about that whole thing. So to Channel 10, kudos to the bank.
Thank you, Mr. Bruno. And they appreciate your $5 million deposit. That Pure Oil sign, you know the history behind that, right? Yeah, a farmer in Virginia had it leaning against her barn, and they acquired it via a hunt, of course. But amazing. It's amazing. Anyone else? We did get a weather update. There will be no snow. I'm just kidding.
For the rest of this meeting.
Yes. We are going to adjourn to closed session. There is no action being taken tonight, but the topic of closed session is, and I will entertain a motion to do so, on the purchase, sale, or lease of public property for the use of the public body.
So moved.
Second. Motion by Alderman Marks, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Don Cummings?
Cummings, aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Dean Kilberg?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Alderman Singer, aye.
Mayor Burns?
Aye. The microphones are off.